Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors, Christy Wowardy Dowardy,
Kelly Barlow. When she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the bird.
Just saying. Okay.
Shannon out of a cannon, Anthony.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Megan the Slayer Taylor.
Anna, God, I love that banana Anderson.
Susie going toe-to-tobin.
Hava Nagila Weber. Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers, Kelly Grant, the Grantmaster.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
And Lizzie Drucker, a fine motherfucker.
Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens. Crappens.
Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens? Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me shortly is my lovely, wonderful co-host, Ronnie Karam. We were in Atlanta this weekend. We had the most amazing time, and the plan was to come back today and recap the latest Shaws of Sunset episode, which aired a few days ago. But the thing is, we watched it, and it was a super sad episode. It was about MJ losing her father, which is, you know, really devastating, and it was a very touching portrayal. The whole episode was really about the friends coming together to be there for MJ and to reflect on her father and loss and death. And basically, it was like a Watch What Crappens minefield. Sure, we probably could have made an episode out of it. We probably could have found it funny. We probably would have made some like snarky, bitchy comments about Morgan or Nima saying that he was realizing that he needs more gold in his life because Mike is showing him the light, which is like the saddest sentiment of all time. We could have done a lot of that, but we really felt like, you know what, let's just put a pin in that, and we'll just come back to Shaw's later this week for the new episode. And it's actually perfect, because when we were in Atlanta, we recorded a second episode. We recorded a recap of the very first ever episode of Real Housewives of Atlanta. And we had an amazing time, and we were originally going to release that as just a bonus episode, but we figured, you know what, rather than do Shaw's, a super sad Shaw's episode, let's release the Atlanta episode on the main podcast feed, because it deserves to be heard. It was Atlanta in Atlanta. Now, just a heads up, something happened with our recording device, and we lost like 6 minutes, like sort of at the front end of the show. No big deal. It didn't impact any of the recap, but we just sort of lost some fun banter about being in Atlanta. There was probably some other really fun patter that we forgot, you know, it's now lost in the ether. But hey, that's why you got to come to the live shows, because you never know. What you might see in the live shows may only be seen and heard in the live shows. You guys don't want to hear me talk this much. It's ridiculous. So let's just move on to the Atlanta show. It'll be super fun. You're going to love it. Enjoy.
Thank you. Wow. Thank you guys so much.
Wow.
So we obviously just did one of these, right? And it was so much fucking fun. And half of you are still here. Oh, yeah. My God.
Oh, my God. It's part two. It's part two.
I'm so glad we're doing Atlanta first episode in this show. In Atlanta.
I see a Garsh t-shirt. Garsh!
Garsh, yes.
Wait, I have to say this also. We saw backstage, we were looking on social media, and we saw what
we were talking to that bitch.
We saw what might quite possibly have been the greatest costume that has ever come to a Watch What Crappens live show. Someone came dressed as Kim Zolciak on Instagram. Whoever you are, that was the most brilliant thing we've ever seen.
So
you killed
funny.
It. Killed it, killed it, killed it, killed it.
And you know, he ain't gonna dole out some
we're taking a photo with you later.
Either. He's like, this is the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life.
So you guys.
And it's so sad because he's like, oh my God, look, John McCain died. This is the most amazing Kim Zolciak. It's like,
wait a
minute. It was getting dark back there. It was getting dark.
You guys, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. Yeah. I'm Ben, that's Ronnie.
We've known so many of you for so many years on El Interneto.
Yes.
And to get to meet you in real life is really awesome. So thank you for being our friends for so long. We've got so many TV-gasm people here, Trash Talk TV people. I mean, it is so great. One of my best friends, Annabelle DeSisto, flew in here.
Yeah, Annabelle DeSisto of Adderall and Compliments is here.
With her gorgeous mother, Nancy.
And Annabelle's wearing an Asa caftan. So representing Bravo.
Love Annabelle. Her podcast is Adderall and Compliments, as if you don't know, but go check that out. It's my girl.
Now, for those of you guys who were unable to attend the early show, here's what happened. We spent the first half talking about sharding, and we spent the second half stacking things on our head. So
it's also very, very exciting.
Yeah. And you may also be wondering, why is there a lovely cake?
Who made this cake? Is the lady here?
Oh, my God. The cake was amazing. We already had a slice.
Cake lady, I love you.
The cake was amazing.
Thank you.
And the reason why there is a cake here is because today is Ronnie Karam's birthday.
Woo! You guys, thank you so much for supporting Tito's the way you have tonight.
Yes.
I mean, the love you've given me is always, you know, touching. I mean, I even squirted some out earlier.
Yeah.
Which I'm mortified by, so thanks. But really, thank you guys, and thank you, my lovely life partner.
You're welcome. Now, earlier,
as long as the internet lives, which who knows.
Now, I'm sorry to report that if you didn't come to the early show, what you actually missed was a surprise birthday message from one Leanne Locken to Ronnie Karam. But the good news is, we still have some more messages for Ronnie. So Ronnie, you gotta come back to the front of the stage. You thought you were off the hook. We have a few more. Come to the front. We have to come to the front because we can't see the screens from back there. It's not like we're gonna do a tap number. So, okay. Do you have a view? Okay. All right. So we have some more birthday messages for Ronnie. And they're going to start off, the messages are going to start off from one of our great friends of the podcast, who was just on two nights ago, Miss Leah Black. So, Carl, you can roll tape on video two.
Ooh, I heard it's your birthday, Ronnie. I'm just so excited that it's your birthday. If anybody doesn't want to celebrate your birthday, Ronnie, I'm just going to slap them with my purse. I'm so happy for you. Here's your little birthday treat, Ronnie. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Ronnie. Happy birthday to you.
Oh, happy birthday, Ronnie. I wish I could be there to celebrate with you.
Kate Chastain.
I'm sure you're having a great time. Halo's clearly exhausted. Halo, do you want to wish Ronnie a happy birthday? You know Ronnie. You always listen to him when I'm mocking you on his podcast. We love listening to you guys. Hi, Ben. Happy birthday, Ronnie.
Ronnie, happy birthday. We're at Billy's at the beach. Cheers.
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 Cheers. Cheers.
I was recording myself. She was like, hi, Kelly. And I'm like, hi. So we are here in our neighborhood. Ronnie, I know you should come by my house. It's the old crib. You've been there before. But I just wanted to wish you a happy, happy birthday. And I miss you. And I miss hanging out with you and Katie and Becky. And let's get together. Go to Quiet Woman. We got people here, yo. We got people. We got friends. We got friends.
Yes.
All right. Miss you. Love you. Bye.
Happy birthday, Ronnie. You suck. Have the best day. Love you.
That's Lisa Rinna. Happy birthday, Ronnie. So for those listening at home, That was Leah Black, Kate Chastain, Kelly Dodd, and Lisa Rinna, all wishing happy birthday to Ronnie.
Oh my God.
Harum.
I want the Lisa Rinna filter. That bitch looks amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. That was so nice. And Cameo?
No, it wasn't Cameo.
Oh, I know. Benio? Benio?
Now, I have to say this, though. I don't know if you could hear Lisa Rinna, but she said, happy birthday, you fuck.
Why don't you just crawl up Lisa Vanderpump's asshole and die?
How are you? Happy birthday to you.
I've never been told to go fuck myself in such a fun way.
Yeah. You know? So thank you.
Fuck
all.
Fuck you. I really don't like you. Really don't like you.
Own it, baby.
Thank you. That is amazing. And you got to love that Leah Black is hawking her handbag in the video.
Yes. Oh, she knows.
Fucking Leah. I love her. Great. Thank you so much.
So, yes. So, you guys, so obviously tonight we are all gathered here in Atlanta, which we're loving, by the way.
Well, this is super annoying. Our audio file from the show broke up. It unexpectedly stopped. And when it resumes, it's about 6 or 8 minutes later. So, unfortunately, you miss all our conversation about the fact that we were staying in the same hotel that they filmed several Atlanta reunions in. And who knows? We probably talked about Swinging Richards again. We talked about how crazy it was to be in Atlanta, recapping Real Housewives of Atlanta, and how, you know, how things had changed, yada, yada, yada. Nothing too important, probably some funny moments. And I think where we pick it up again, Ronnie was sweating or something, and I started dabbing his forehead with something on the table, and then I realized it was a diaper that was left over from the baby Bruin discussion from earlier in the evening at the Dallas episode show. So that's where we're at.
Diapers. I like diapers. Diapers are great. In Atlanta, we use diapers. Yeah. You know? Thank you for this, by the way.
Yeah. So we start with Lisa Wu, who's like, if it doesn't make me money, I don't do it. So now we know she was paid nothing for Atlanta.
I know, you're on season one of Atlanta. You paid to actually do this show. You know what I mean? And then Deshaun, who... Deshaun was a one-season wonder, but God...
The one that got away.
I mean, she really did. Get her back. Find Deshaun at whatever parking lot of Wendy's that she's living in.
She's a pastor now.
Bring her back to this show. I need her back.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember the episode where she threw that big fundraiser?
To raise $1 million.
I mean, that's one of those times where it really reaffirmed my knowledge, not even belief, my knowledge. A positive attitude doesn't mean shit, okay? You can envision whatever you want. Get a job. Get a job. I'm going to say it 30 times today.
Well, the best part about Deshaun, obviously, one-hit wonder, one-season wonder, and, you know, she's like one of the most forgotten housewives of all time. But not everything she says and everything she does in this premiere is so, like, woefully deluded. Even her tagline, she's like, I always knew I was destined for greatness.
So did half the boys we met last night.
They're going to make it someday.
Tomorrow. So then Nene, I did not, you know, Nene has really changed over the years. Facially, dentistically. I mean, Nene has had like new eyeballs put in. Like, she's literally a whole different human.
She's been upgraded.
Yeah, she's like so different.
It's like the Terminator.
But really, Nene's soul, I think, has always been Nene, and it is. So many things I thought came later were right here. The sound effects.
Yeah.
Like there was one point in today's show where she was like, like, what is she doing?
Yeah.
And she just commits the whole time. She's so Nene. I mean, she's Nene with terrible hair and like a $5 dress, but she's still Nene, you know?
It was the Nene we fell in love with.
Bless her. And it's like, I don't remember the feeling when I watched this first episode. Of course you take NeNe off the list. Like, of course you do. It's like it's a logical reaction to you.
If you're a producer, yeah.
So good.
So her tagline is, I don't keep up with the Joneses. I am the Joneses. Which
and
I think
then
was,
she does this.
Yeah. I like her. She's like suddenly like a fire thrower like at a luau.
Own, yeah, it's like her own aerobics class just snapping in circles.
It's like hypnotizing. You're like, that was, I mean, that was one of the early sassy taglines. That may have ushered in the current era of sassy taglines. I don't know. I'm not enough of a student of the taglines.
Oh, let's just give NeNe credit for everything. Why don't we?
Oh, I guess all my taglines mean nothing to you. Hashtag taglines and friends.
So then Kim, now girl.
Kim Zolciak.
One of the most awkward things about tonight is knowing that Kim is in danger, okay? Like, anyone who knows Sashal Madia, that bitch, knows that Kim is in danger. I mean, her face. I don't even know what to... Look, I don't know what to say about it, okay? I can make a shitty judgment on really anything. Like stoplights, I'll go on half an hour about how bitchy they are and how I hate them.
Well, there's stuff to say about stoplights.
But her face? There is.
It's a lot. I mean,
I feel like they change the timing of them.
They
change
the
timing of the yellow light just to give you a ticket. Like, seriously, I'll bitch about... But Kim, I'm like, I've no...
Kim is a force unto herself. And not... You know what... Who would have thought that of the Bravo Kims, Kim D, Kim G, and Kim Z, that Kim Z would be the one who's the worst? I never would have thought.
And that's a hill to climb.
Yeah, that was like the meanest thing I ever said about Kim Zolciak.
That was pretty bad. Yeah. I liked it.
Like, she's worse than Kim Granatelle.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
She looks like she'll be starring in like some IMAX movie one day, you know? It's like Kim in the Wild at IMAX, and she'll just be on some tree like...
Kim looks like she was IMAX, but then like adapted to an airport TV screen. You're like, I feel like I'm not seeing this right.
Some things don't need to be that big. But this is original flavor Kim, and she's still as shallow and disgusting as ever. But this is where I realized that my knowledge that positive visualization means nothing is wrong. Because this delusional bitch is living in a mansion with a husband and multiple cute children.
Multiple children.
Okay, I can see that's debatable, what I just said. I can see that it's debatable. I love a boo, but I really love a groan.
Kim Granatelle! No.
Because she, this whole time, she's like, I'm rich, you know. But it's just the original Kim where she's so, I think it's before they really perfected Valium, you know. Because, like, it's good now.
Yeah.
But it's
or
like
wigs.
Back in the day, she's just like, in Atlanta, money does give you class and power. Like, her face is just like this. And it's not because she had Botox. I don't think that was a thing. But her face just doesn't move. It's like, and her eyes are half closed. And her fake hair is like a pile.
Yeah, it's like someone dropped linguine on her head. But the thing is, the sad part is I think that she's just like stating how utility companies work. She's like, yeah, money gives you power. Like, I have to pay my bill to Con Ed. It's like, and then of course.
Be kind, rewind. It's just like obvious things.
So then, of course, we at last, but certainly not least, we have Sheree. You got electricity. But this was actually...
You got electricity.
This was a different era of Sheree when it's like she hasn't had a sip of water in 3 days, so everything... Sounds like she's like people are intimidated by my success. They're like, can someone give her a glass of water, please?
And now we have the term thirst. If we only understood back then, you know.
I love people are intimidated by my success. What was she successful at?
People are intimidated by my success. I'm like,
Well, my success is arriving in September, spring, summer. So here's the most shocking part about this. The entire, Atlanta is like a legendary on Bravo, okay? The entire franchise begins with Deshaun Snow. The first scene ever is Deshaun, and she's... what's so weird is that the show is edited in such a different way back then. Like, they're giving interviews to, like, people who are, like, working around the house, you know? Like, the gardener's like, yeah, well, Deshaun, she likes, you know, tulips, you know? And you're like, what? So... It opens and like...
And also, it opens with golfing, which is, you know, how they're like, it's rich, everybody's rich. They have those shots.
Yeah.
And Atlantis is like, it's a guy golfing. And they do it like every scene. It's a guy like...
Yeah,
rich,
golf.
Rich! Rich!
And like, you know, there's like a certain rhythm to the way shows are now. We all sort of know that when a season begins or a series, there's a certain way they start, you know, like... Well, my name's Deshaun, and, you know, I've actually been living in Atlanta for, you know, 8 years. But instead, this is back then. So it just opens, like, her mid-sentence. It's like, golf, golf, golf. And she's like, could have lived anywhere, but, you know, we decided to live in Atlanta instead. And you're like, wait. Yeah. This scene's already starting?
It's starting in the middle of Deshaun's delusion.
Yeah.
Which is so cute. I mean, I really think she's cute, and she's nice, and she's a dodo bird. But, like, she's such a cute...
She's very sweet.
She's very like,
I got estate managers, maids, and chefs.
I got a printer and a water machine in my refrigerator.
Staircases, salons, and what do you call it? Front doors.
But who cares? Curling iron. I want more.
Like, she's so completely just like...
I don't know why I was dangling this. What was that supposed to be? I'm like creating like the underwater effect. I'm like...
This is like gay Catholicism, these things. Because before I grabbed it, I was like... Is there like the rosary beads? It's like... So she's like,
we could have went anywhere, but we chose Atlanta because it's the land of opportunity. Yeah. We built this house and we worked with somebody from California.
Lori Halperin, who gets the second ever interview in Atlanta. And all of a sudden we see this lady we never see again ever on TV. And she's like... Hi, I'm Lori Halperin, and what I decided to do is design this house, and she's excited. Like, thanks, Lori, I'm glad you're on the show. Goodbye.
And Deshaun makes it sound like,
we created it in California, but now it's in Atlanta.
And this designer goes, she spent a total of 3 hours with me.
I put a checkerboard floor in her closet just to fuck with her. So Deshaun walks into the home. They walk in the home for the first time, and they've never seen it. And it's like, once again, it's like, ever since I was little, I was destined to be somebody. I'm like, you're just looking at travertine. Relax, okay?
So she's like,
my new house is 19 trillion square feet. Big.
So she's married at the time to Eric Snow, who is this adorable NBA player. And she's like, the best thing about being married to an NBA player is the lifestyle. I'm like, enjoy it now, bitch, because it's gone in 2 years. I mean, same
I didn't
pass.
Know the news. I asked Ben, I was like, what did happen to Deshaun? Because I was like, she's either still really happily married or she's like in a Wendy's parking lot. Like, it could go either way.
Or both.
And I'm sad to know that I still don't really know what happened. Because when you talk about her, even when you start talking about her, I'm like, duh. I just stop listening, you know?
Well, what's even worse is that then she goes, and this is just the beginning of it all. Deshaun.
I know you guys, right? This is so sad. There's a lot of sadness in here. Sorry.
You know what's funny? We are so close to Deshaun, I mean, in the world. Like, she could be, like, next door eating dinner.
I literally eat at Wendy's 3 times a week.
Yeah. It's crazy. I can't believe we're in Atlanta.
So she's like,
I always dreamed of this. A big estate with a chandelier. Ever since I was little, I destined to be great. I have everything.
So then they're playing around with their kids or whatever, and she's explaining the husband's away 6 days a week during the season, you know, fucking hookers or whatever you do.
Yeah.
And she's like, the hard thing about it is being a single parent. Get a husband who's home. Sorry. Like, seriously. Well, I'm sick of these. I'm sick of Real Housewives being like, oh, my God, I got this husband. He's really great. He's totally attentive, but he's never home. It's so crazy.
It's like drive up to Los Angeles, 1 hour.
Yeah.
So, oh, that's the best part. The best part. Whoa. Settle down.
Just out of
the
here.
Best part is... I just wanted to do Ramona for a second. So, no, the best part, she's like, oh, my God, I feel like a single mother. And then she does the classic thing. She's like, well, we're hiring an estate manager, an executive housekeeper, a maid crew, a chef, a governess, like with Downton Abbey or something like that, Deshaun Abbey, a nanny.
A governess and a nanny, okay?
I mean.
She really thinks she's going to have a governor living at her house.
It's like, you're that rich. I can't wait for my first filibuster.
So then we do a hairpin turn. Then we do a hairpin turn.
Oh, yes. Oh, wait. I have to mention one thing.
Oh, sorry.
So since I got this off of a torrent, you know, it was like recorded on somebody's DirecTV or whatever at the time. And so the little things that started popping up at the beginning of the show were the old classic Bravo shows. Oh. And one of them was like, coming soon, the return of Project Runway. This is literally Heidi Klum, okay? Oh, I have a wireless mic. Look. Oh, my God, yes. So she, you know, here's the TV, and she pops up. She's like. I'm like, what the fuck is this show? Back when Carol was a Jordache jeans model. Oh, the days.
Yeah.
Now I run the marathon.
Okay. You guys, my physical comedy, seriously, it's exhausting. Thank you.
It's your birthday. Go, Shorty. It's your birthday.
See? Now, rally.
Don't want no breaks.
Don't need no breaks. But we have to get a break right now.
So, okay. So now it's time for Nene. And this is when Nene, I guess, was just into double snaps. That's her thing. Because her thing, it's like, Nene. And she's like. She does it again.
She's doing some weird
kung
fu.
She's like, snap on. Karate Kid.
I just wrote down, woo! Did she say that?
Yes,
I just wrote it down.
Because Nene goes, if you ask anybody about me, people will say, Nene, she's real fun.
And then she goes,
this and then it cuts to Nene going, woo!
Yeah, that's what it was.
Lauren! To some girl at a party because she's like, I'm fun, you know?
So
thanks, Nene. Thanks for illustrating that.
And now here's what's great. This is what's great about these early shows, the early seasons where they don't really know what's going to happen. Nene goes, I'm around a lot of women who are very wealthy. And they cut to her with Kim. Kim. Listen, we're not doing Bethany Frankel. Okay, what's the matter? What's going on? Okay, you know what? Never mind.
So Nene's like, I live in a city in an exclusive gated community. And then they show like the club, the country club or whatever. And she's like, there's celebrities, athletes, bankers, strippers, gardeners, pool people, deer. There's
sprinklers.
The occasional deer that we see. I'm like, okay, Nene, wrap it up.
So she's ordering at a restaurant there, I guess, at the club. And she's like, I think I'm going to have the grouper with the mashed potatoes. And Greg is like, no bread. She's like, fine, I'll take the lobster tail and a crab cake. I'm like, wait, crab cakes are all bread.
No,
just bother me
know.
On like a deep
she's
culinary
like,
level.
No, she's like, no carbs. I'll take the crab cake. So good. We've all done that. You know, when you lie to yourself on Dr. Fatkin's diet.
Yeah. No, like, carbs. I'll take the chowder. Yeah.
I'll have French fries. I mean, they're natural.
Yeah.
So, she's... let me see. Oh, so she's right. Pretending to be classy. They're like with this other wealthy couple at the country club. And she's trying to pretend she's all classy. When she orders, she's like, and I'd like the mashed potatoes. I was like, ooh.
The mashed potatoes.
But she tells the guest, she's like, well, I'll tell you the secret to a man's heart. And it's not through his stomach. You know how she does?
It's through his elbow.
So, yeah, that Greg was, like, trying to, like, calorie shame her.
Yeah. But it was it was also, like, a totally different time, because then we saw little Brent. He was, what, like, 8 or 10 years old? He was cute. He was such a cute. And they were having a birthday party, and what I loved, it was, like, a normal birthday party. They were, like, at, you know, like, the bowling alley or something. There was a cake that looked like a train or something. And there was a car. There were balloons. It was, like, normal. And I was like, we should savor this moment because, like, it's all downhill from there, you know? On all the shows do... I mean, do we... Taylor Armstrong? I mean, come on. $30,000 on a 3-year-old.
And then Greg's like, I would like to present my child with his first... check for $1,000.
And I made it out to Greg Leakes.
Investment. Yes. It's made out to Leakes LLC.
Yeah.
Let's see. Okay, so then we get a classic NeNe family video. So you know in a family meeting. So you know how NeNe's always like, I am the queen of this castle. Like, she does it every season. And you know she doesn't see her kids because she doesn't even know, like, what room they're in or whatever. She's like, whoever's here, come down here, come down here. So they sit at whatever table. And NeNe is hilarious with this because she does it every year. And she's got, like, a stack of paper. She's like, now. When are you going to clean your room, mister? She's like, I'm the queen of this family. I'm like, you go with your printed 2 sheets.
Yeah. I like that. I like when someone, like, waves authority around for, like, a very small chore.
I just like when people print shit that's, like, this big. It's like, clean your room. That's all she said. What was the rest of that paper?
It was like, repeat until Bryson gets it. So then we go... to our very first Kim Zolciak scene.
Oh. Now, I'm going to actually need to ask Cortez. Cortez, you handsome devil, would you please bring me a drink?
Oh, whoa, it's
Cortez,
already there.
Cortez, you handsome son of a bitch.
He already
thank
there.
You.
So, we see, you. We see Kim. She's just like shopping, you know, living that Kim life in the fast lane. When you got power and class because you got money, you know? And she's
oh,
just
God.
Like... But there was like something, there was something sort of endearing about Kim at this time because she was a little bit more upfront about who she was then than she is now. Like now she's like, I'm Claudia Schiffer. And you're like, no, you're like wax. But like back then she was like, she's like, I'm very materialistic. Makes me feel good to have brands and top of the line things. Which is cute because she's like a Talbots, but like... I respect that she's, like, self-aware. Like, for one moment in time, she was self-aware enough to know she's materialistic.
Yeah, it's like, I'm very materialistic. It feels good. I love name brands. I could die tomorrow, but it'll be in Dior.
I'll die in Dior. Dior is like, we're shutting down. No, we're not allowing that. Uh-uh. And then another...
So, of course, yeah. Kim. She's like, oh, my God, the yellow's pretty. You got it in normal white. Where's your true religions? I'm like,
Kim. So, another ominous moment, she goes, NeNe and I have a great friendship.
Yeah.
Oh, it's also the beginning of a great tradition of Kim being super problematic. I'm a black woman trapped in a white woman's body.
You I'm are like, definitely a white woman.
You're a piece
Trust
of...
Trust me.
You're a piece of tinfoil in a jar with a wig on. I don't know. Do you know what sort of courage it takes for a black woman stuck in a white woman's body to sit with other black women and listen to them at a reunion? Shut up, Kim. Remember when she said that?
Ugh. You are so white. You are a Claudia Swiffer, okay? So, yeah, and me.
Well, and then she goes, people always said I should have been black anyway. Did anyone say that? I was just checking. Anyone in this room say that? No. Kim Dolezolciak.
So then Nene comes in, and she's like, Kim. You know how she always pronounces Kim? I love it. Kim. She's like, Kim, I am so fun. Woo! That's Nene! Nene! Woo! So, yeah, it's Nene. She's fun. She's definitely my partner in crime.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to bust in on your notes, but I just looked over at Ronnie's iPad, and I just saw it. It goes, he just wrote, Kim Dead Eyes. I'm sorry.
So I remember to do it. Like her eyes. It's like I was just doing Court, the husband from Dallas. It's the same face, but like, it is, right? It's just like, I love brand names. It's like, is she alive? Like, stick a temperature, a meat thermometer in her. I want to make sure that she's moving, you know?
So she says, I don't know, I don't want to go too far. I don't want to skip ahead. I don't want to skip ahead. We have to make sure we get all our...
Whenever I'm lost, I'll just do that. Okay. That's my subtle signal that you should just carry on.
So then she's talking, now we have like Kim buying shit montage, and she's like, in Atlanta... You're it with money. And I'm just like imagining Kim as Pennywise, the clown. It's like, I'm it now. Come into my gutter. I didn't buy my gutter. I didn't have to. Someone else bought it for me because I got power. My gutter.
So then we see
a wig is going down the water. A little child is chasing a wig into the gutter. Come on in. You want your wig? You want your wig? I got it in here.
Most terrifying film of the year. Wig. My God, and her music. And just remembering, and I was like, damn it, I wish we had that episode to recap. Don't be tardy for the party. Whoa.
I personally have a soft spot for The Ring Didn't Mean a Thing. But not just any version. I am a fan of the all a cappella Kim Zolciak version.
Whoa, 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 whoa. The ring didn't mean a thing.
Yeah.
No. Whoa, 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 whoa. The ring didn't mean a thing.
Let's, like, let's take it up. No. Let's take it up. Let's take it up.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. The ring didn't mean a thing to you. I see you're out there still doing your thing. So I'll keep the ring, set you free. Big bank account, you've got that. A black gun, you got that. Next time I catch you cheating, I'm gonna hit you in your pockets. Diamonds, you bought me new furniture, you bought me. And I'm upgrading my Escalade. The next time you act naughty, you bought me a ring to shut me up.
Okay, we can't. We can't. She said, you bought me a ring to shut me up, and that's just what we did. God bless her.
Oh, my God, Kim. You should have been born black.
Wow, she really is.
Whoa, Kim.
Wow. It makes you wonder about the other songs that could have... Remember, she also had Tightrope? There's a tightrope between me and you, and it's a rope that's tight.
Koozie keeps my beer cold. Koozie.
Wait, let me give you a beat. Let me give you a beat to help you out.
Okay.
Koozie on my beer.
Koozie.
I miss you so much.
No, never get more.
Brielle, Corinna, Beerman.
I like swim pools.
Missing
I like
so
swim
much.
Pools.
Ladders. Koozie. They help you go up. Whoa, you can also go down ladders.
Koozie. Koozie.
Solo cup. Foghorns. I love a foghorn. Have you ever heard a foghorn? Not in the fog. Wow.
Her biggest hit was recording the ever so popular dial tone on a telephone.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. That number is not available.
For Mexican, press 1. Kim's so ignorant. I'm sorry. Okay, yeah. So then we get a scene. Then we go right back to Kim, and she's at home now. And at first, when you watch this show, you might think, this is totally a fake scene and just set up so Kim could be acting rich. But now that you know Kim, it's like, I believe that this totally happened exactly like this. Hey, I want to buy an Escalade today, Daddy. Fully loaded with TVs, the bigger tires.
Sour cream, bacon. Oh, wait, sorry. I thought we were talking about a potato fully loaded. A Cadillac fully loaded. Never mind.
Make sure I'm coming down there. Make sure you got it. I want everything you got in there. Headrest, handrest, rest, rest. I want tires. I want my chairs to have
four
hair.
Four wheels this time, not three.
I want one where the gas goes in.
I want an armrest, but I want it to go this way instead of this way. So
I just wrote pile of plastic hair. I mean, Kim notes are really fun to write.
So this is obviously when we meet a very important character in Real Housewives lore. She's like, I have a man in my life. He prefers to remain a mystery. I just refer to him as Big Papa.
Big Papa.
I love it when I call him Big Papa.
Yeah, he's like really, really celebrity-like famous. Like, really. He don't even like to be in public.
Like, he's not a celebrity. He married, girl. Yeah. He doesn't want to be in public. Big Papa was like, didn't we find out who Big Papa was?
Who was Big Papa? Who was Big Papa? Exactly, whatever.
Someone in Hajar?
He worked at the phone company. He was a technician.
Lee Hajar? Oh, my God. Okay. My cousins, the cousins of the Karams are the Hajars. Not even kidding you. I might know Big Papa.
You're our Big Papa. Kim goes to this. She
honey,
goes to the dealership.
I want to buy a Cadillac today. So she calls Big Papa. She's like, honey, I want to buy a Cadillac today. And then it says, what do you need to do? Him writing it. And she's like, okay, bye.
And then she goes, I was like, she has a Land Rover already. And then she's getting a giant Escalade. It's like, she's like not only problematic, but she's bad for the environment. Like, is there any, could she get
any
worse?
I'll tell you this, she's not recyclable. You're outlawing straws. Outlaw Kim Zolciak, okay? If anyone's going to kill a turtle after they're thrown in the ocean, it's that bitch.
So they're at the dealership, and Brielle's, you know, like, we see little Brielle back in more innocent times.
You're so sweet, man.
She was so cute. But we should have known because she goes, can we have spinners? We'll row like gangsters. We should have seen it coming. So then Kim is like, well, Big Papa is somebody I could marry for sure. I hope I get the big proposal.
So sad.
There's nothing to say about it. It's just hilarious.
But then,
sad.
Yeah, she's like, I'm getting the car. Is that okay? And he's like, okay. And she's like, writing her check. She's like, thanks. This has everything in it. And he's like, yeah, Kim. She's like, all right, we took it. So you're going to look at the car. It doesn't even look inside or anything.
Yeah.
Do I have everything in it? It has Chick-fil-A inside, right?
Yeah. Do I know if it's a fair price or not? No. Am I driving off the lot in 5 minutes? Yes. Is it made of turtles? Maybe. Do I know what a road is? No. Am I drinking and driving? Yes. Did I just crash my car into a little tree and almost a big tree? Yes.
Was that a speed bump or a homeless person? Dunno. Dunno.
So then we go to...
Woo, 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 Lisa Wu, ladies and gentlemen.
Lisa Wu.
Lisa Wu. God, I forgot what a little ball of woo. I mean, God, I'm glad her name is Woo, because she bets the woo and woo-hoo. She's, like, going all the time. It's, like, constant woo.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm so busy. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. Oh, my God. Let's sell bags. I want to sell some bags right now. Paper. Let's sell paper. Like, that's called a cocaine addiction, ma'am.
Yeah.
Okay?
She's like, well, work is my life. I'm a real estate broker. I'm the owner of Hartwell & Associates. I also have Heart to Heart Baby. I paint. I design jewelry. I build tables.
It's I'll sweep if I have to. I'll do that. But then I'm going to sell the broom after because I do not do things for free.
I'm learning trapeze.
And they really show her doing all these things. She's like, real estate. Painting. Jogging. You're going to be the best kid ever. It's like, whoa.
I bet all her friends can't stand her because she's like, having a 9-month-year-old, it revives you. It just gives you energy. It's like, you're full of shit. You know, all her friends are like, fuck her. What are you talking about?
So then we see her husband and her home, and, you know, she's like, I do everything, including bowling. So they have bowling night, and...
I do it all. Candlestick, pins, whatever.
So who says... Oh, so
I don't know Deshaun, who said anything because they had, like, no microphones on.
I wrote Deshaun, and then under it says, one. I was like, who is this? Who is this one person? No, it's Deshaun.
Oh.
She goes, Lisa has a very large home. In fact... We're bowling in it right now.
Someday I hope to be a professional bowler myself. She like throws the ball into the wall. So did you notice it's like so Deshaun is there and she's talking and like no one's mic'd. It's just like echoey at all. Everything just sort of sounds like this. Like
yeah.
Like wow.
Half of me in a live show, I'm like,
you remember that part with that girl?
So Ed and Lisa got married a month and 23 days after they met. So who would have thought they would have broken up? I mean, it's a shocker.
They broke up too?
Yeah, he went on to Keisha Knight Pulliam.
What? Rudy?
You learn something new when you come to Crappins. You learn something new.
I don't believe in reading, so... Okay, so... next we go over... Lisa's like... I can sleep when I'm dead. And I'm like, you will be if you keep jacking yourself up like that. Okay, so then we go over to Sheree's house.
You tell her, yeah. Oh, let's do Sheree. So this is very important. It does not get actually mentioned on the show, but when we see Sheree the very first time, she's sitting at a table working on early sketches of She by Sheree.
We think. We don't really see them very close, and you can't watch it in HD, so I don't know what the fuck it was, but I think it was like a lot of like dollar store notebooks that were, because they were draped over something.
It could have been an adult coloring book.
Yeah. Design house.
Little did we realize that someday Sheree would be answering the seminal question, how are you going to have a fashion show with no fashions?
So... She has all these assistants walking around to look like she's super important. You know, Sheree has really not changed. Like, she was humbled. Remember how she got humbled and, like, lost everything, and everyone's like, oh, my God, Sheree's so real now. And then she pretended to be living in that house, and then she couldn't let them in because it wasn't finished. So she'd be like, oh, I'm just sweeping. Just sweeping out here on the front.
Just sweeping Chateau Sheree.
Yeah. And they're trying to, Kenya's trying to come in. She's like, nope, just sweeping.
So Sheree's on the phone. There's a lady on the phone being like, get yourself prepared for the Rolls Royce Luxury Lounge. They are expecting you. They really want you to come. I'm like, you know that was her daughter calling her. Being like, say the next line.
Yeah,
Tiffany.
The Rolls Royce Luxury Lounge. And she's like, everybody wants me to go. Like, girl, she probably thinks Groupon is like really inviting her places, yeah. You know? It's like...
I've been told I've been living social, so...
Yeah, I keep getting... I'm always invited on luxury vacations. Hawaii, you know, nice big room. Like.
So she's now talking about Bob, and again, she's all like... I'm like, did you just have peanut butter? Like... So she is working on She by Sheree, and she's trying to design sexy, classy pieces.
She goes, my lifestyle... is demanding. And I consider myself among
one of Atlanta's elite.
I'm like, you consider yourself among the elite. Well, that's good.
She goes,
I consider myself to be president. So pay me your taxes.
She goes, I want the world to know who Sheree is. So I decided to throw myself a birthday party. And then later on, she's like, I invited 50 people. I don't know how that's telling the world.
Yeah. It's like, we're going to have a huge party. 50 people.
And she goes, well, I'm a single mom because I'm currently going through a divorce. And the thing that's holding us up is I want a lump sum.
I'm like, this isn't a lottery. Like, you don't get a choice.
I'll also take some lump crab if you have a chance. Yeah, so she's bragging about her staff, talking about Lawrence. I think this is...
Lawrence.
Well, we don't see Lawrence a little later, but she mentions Lawrence. She mentions Lawrence.
I mean, how pretty is Lawrence? We see Lawrence.
And he's a good singer, too.
He's so pretty.
I forgot her assistant was Evander Holyfield's daughter. It's all sorts of weird things popping up.
My butt feels weird.
Oh, I hope you're not sitting on nails again.
No.
Ronnie sat on, like, literally he knocked the cushion off his chair on Thursday night and didn't realize, and he sat back down, and all these nails were just sticking up, and he just sat on it.
I didn't even know.
I know. Aw.
Okay. So, yeah, let's see. Lori the cake lady. And, you know, I feel so bad seeing all these fake employees around Sheree because, like, I've worked my ass off as a waiter my whole life, and I know people, we know that Sheree doesn't pay. You know what I mean? We just know this factually now. It's like, yeah. Lori the cake lady did that for free.
Yeah.
Okay? So I just felt bad for everybody, especially Yvette, because Yvette is a personal assistant who you know, she's probably been sacrificed in the backyard, like literally after the first season. So, because she did everything wrong. You know, Sheree's like, do not mess this up, Yvette.
Yeah.
Do not.
This was great because this was also our first indication that Sheree is secretly crazy, you know? And this is also before she learned that there was value in just, like, letting it out. So she tried to keep everything in. So we learn there's a florist that's supposed to come. And the florist isn't there. It's late. And so her, like, Tiffany says, or whoever, Yvette says...
Sheree does this. She goes... And her earrings are doing the...
Yeah. And Yvette's like, he can't come over today. Sheree's like... Thank you. That is not what Sheree said, though. All right, everyone, settle down.
Bye.
So Sheree just leans forward, and she's just like, why not?
Yeah.
Why not? And then Yvette's like, I don't know. And Sheree just goes, he has to come here today. Should we get... Tiffany in here. Just see, like, Sheree. I was like, oh, this is like, wait until season two, and Sheree just lets it out. Yes. Who got Check Me Boo? You
know? Yes. She goes, Tiffany's like, oh, he knows. He knows. Oh my God, huge Sheree poster is just lifted up.
Like, we're at a rally. We're at a Sheree rally. There's a poster of Sheree. This is like American Idol. This is what it was. Remember, it was like, Bo Bice.
American Idol. I always knew I was destined to be something. That's so American Idol to say that.
Yeah. Oh
my God. That's what all those kids say before they become heroin addicts on the street. I know, sad, right? Okay, so next up, Kim and Nene meet up. And
by the way, Kim shows up in a Range Rover. I'm like, you just bought an Escalade, and you're not even driving it. Anyway,
good point. When I see things I can't afford, I just black them out like they're not even there, you know? I see like a Toyota Camry, you know, like everything's like... So Kim's like, Mama, you lost so much weight, Mama. Mama, wow. And Nene's like...
Nene goes, Kim is so fun. And she would do anything for you. She truly has your back. That's a direct quote, verbatim.
She goes, when Kim and I get together, watch out. It doesn't matter if we're rocking Gucci or Prada or whatever. We have fun. I was like, what kind of thing is that to say? Like, it doesn't matter what we're wearing. We have fun together. God, me and Ben. I could be wearing Old Navy. I could be wearing a tie from Ross. It doesn't really matter. We have fun together. Like,
I'm glad your friendship transcends your shirt. You fucking weirdo.
I would prefer you to stop wearing Old Navy, though. I would think we'd have more fun otherwise. So they're all having lunch. It's like Nene and Kim, and Kim's mom, Karen, is there. Just sort of like in the corner. She's like, Kim's mom is like this, you know?
Oh my God, before she got disowned for refusing to use a porta potty. I mean, that is the best mother-daughter breakup of all time.
Yeah.
They literally still don't speak because Kim wouldn't let her use the inside restroom at a party.
It still hasn't been used.
Oh, the wedding.
It hasn't been used.
The wedding.
So now we start to get into the first inklings of drama. You know, now we've met everyone. So we start talking, and I had totally forgotten that this is how this whole feud started. So basically, Nene and Deshaun went to Uptown, which I guess is near here, and they saw Sheree, and Sheree was like, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? And they sort of had, it was sort of like reenacted. It was like a Discovery Channel special. It was like Zapruder or something like that. Like Sheree, like it just sort of being like, what's she doing here? But it's like Nene's voice coming out because she's narrating it. It's like very exciting.
It was also footage that they shot for like the sizzle reel or whatever when they were trying to sell the show. So, you know, they're trying to like make a show. So they're like, we're going to fight. Okay, we'll fight. And so it's a stupid fight with like a handy cam sitting there in a party, like to explain why they're mad. So Nene's like, did you hear from Sheree last night? Well, it was very nice to hear from her. Woo, woo! So she hears about the party, and Sheree invited her, and she's like, that is really nice. So then she goes, Sheree goes, I am classier than Nene, okay? A lot classier than Nene.
She had baseboards. She had baseboards.
Does she have power sockets? The baseboards. Never forget the baseboards.
Oh, yeah.
It's the best line that Sheree has ever uttered, in my opinion. You got baseboards?
You got electric. So Nene is confused. Nene is confused
all
because
right,
basically...
You.
All right, settle down.
Settle down.
All right, Dorinda. Okay, come on, Dorinda.
Look at your gorgeous little faces. I told these bitches, too, at the beginning. I was like, pace yourself. You're here for a lot of hours. Yeah. They're like, oh, no, no big deal. Now they're like, fuck you.
Thank you, Giovanni.
I love you. Giovanni.
So basically, after this incident that happened at Uptown, they didn't talk for a month. And then all of a sudden, Nene gets invited to this birthday party. Nene's sort of surprised. She wasn't expecting it, you know. But she's going to go and she's going to work the room.
And Kim's like, I'm not sure how they're going to interact. I mean, you can smell it. The animosity, the hatred. You can taste it. You feel it. You can deep thread it, but I already got a new car. So
now we have Sheree, and now it's like day of the party or so, and Sheree's getting nervous because the guests have started at 50, and now it's at 100. It's getting larger and larger. It's spiraling out of control.
I have tacky friends like this where, because I'm, you know, an improv person, so when anybody has a party, we'll bring 20 people, okay? Because everybody's hungry. Like, we just want your food. Like, we'll come to your house. We will take your silver. Anything that you leave on the table, like, if this were a party, I would literally, like, be putting this in the trunk of my Uber right now that I have waiting outside. And that's how Sheree is, because she's like, this person's bringing 7 people. That person's bringing 10 people. I was like, Sheree does improv. I love her. Like, instant bond.
Yeah, so basically she's like, you know, she's basically like harassing her staff, and she's like, this party has to be perfect. You got a perfect party? You got a perfect party?
You got riffraff? So, you got riffraff? I don't want any riffraff. So she's like, she goes, now, this party, it's the talk of the town. So she gets a bodyguard to keep people out of this party, and she goes, I'm going to leave it up to Tiffany to come out of the list. And Tiffany's like, got it, ma'am. Please don't hurt me.
So then, now this I thought was amusing. I only noticed it at this point. We cut to commercial, and we see the lineup, like, holding out the peaches, and Lisa Wu has the center peach. It's so crazy going back to season one. I would open with Deshaun, Lisa Wu has the center peach. What is this world?
It's sports, and it's so amazing to see who beat the shit out of who to get that center fucking spot every time, you know? Like, when Candy first got it, I remember being like, yes, queen.
Yes.
Yes, queen. You finally fucking did it.
Yeah.
All you had to do was yell at some people and cry a lot. Like, yeah. I could have told you that, but...
The lies. Like the lies.
The lies.
See? No. Riley. It was Riley's 60th... By the way, how beautiful is Riley? And how... It was her 16th. She had a sweet 16 this week. So, Riley, if you are here, happy birthday.
And I'm like, I'm so proud to watch this girl grow up who does so much for herself and really works hard. And then Candy's like, I bought her like a Rolls Royce sedan. I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I don't understand that.
Yeah.
Riley.
Remember when her opening line was like, blah, 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 blah.
Ha.
Don't want drama. Don't need drama. By the way, I feel like it's always important to say this because people are like, what is up with that voice? The thing with Candy Burris is that she has the most impossible voice to mimic because it goes high, then low, then high, then low, and then does like a vibrato in between.
Yes.
So we've been trying for years and years to get it right, but all we can do is go... It's like a broken printer.
Wait, what?
I love fucking Candy. Okay, so is this where shopping with Sheree? Oh, so Sheree's seen it.
Yes,
she goes,
is.
Tiffany, I want this day to be spectacular. I want to feel like a queen. Make it happen. And I was like, oh no.
So Sheree goes to the store.
Be dismembered.
She's got like a little cap on, like some weird shit, and she's like, everyone knows me for being stylish. I'm like, you look like a newsie right now.
The problem with men these days, they're intimidated by successful women.
Well, thank God, no one seems to be intimidated by her.
Yeah, it's all that law jargon you're spitting out all the time.
Sorry. Yeah, and I'm like, she wants to make sure that no one has the same handbag as her at the boutique. She's like, this is the only one, right? I gotta have the only one. I'm like, take a seat, Sheree. Take a seat.
So she's, yeah. So then we go over to Dopey Deshawn.
Before we do Deshawn, I just have to say one of my favorite Sheree lines of the entire episode. She goes, I'm fashion. I'm style. If they can't keep up, that there's the problem. Thanks, Sheree. Anyway, sorry. Where's my beats?
And she's making the bed. I was like,
wouldn't you think I'm... Wait, why am I making my own bed? This dream sucks.
So she's making a bed, and she's like,
I really need a house manager, because I'm making a bed.
Okay.
All right, Sheree. We get it. Sheba Sheree.
This girl's like, Sheba Sheree.
All right.
Sheba Sheree.
Literally has nothing to do with what we're talking about.
Dopey Deshawn music. Okay, so Deshawn. Okay, so Lindy. Oh my God, Lindy, a candidate for house manager.
Yes.
This is so good. Okay, so this is where Julia Roberts goes to that store and the store people won't let her buy a dress because she a hoe. And then she goes back to buy something because she's rich now and they have to like suck it up and deal with her. That is Lindy.
Yeah.
Lindy is that lady who has to deal with Julia Roberts coming back with money, okay? So it really is because it's a reverse interview, right? So she's like, Deshawn tells us,
she's just here on a trial period.
Yeah.
Like, she's going to really test her.
Yeah.
So Lindy's like, okay, what exactly is it that you're looking for, Miss Snow? And she goes,
in the past, Chef would get groceries. Will that be possible? We want potatoes.
Yes.
So they should get that. How do you envision that?
She said, how do you envision that? Like getting potatoes.
Those hard-hitting potato questions trip up everyone at the interview. How do you envision getting potatoes?
Girl, that's like my dream. I dream so stupid. I don't aim high. I'm like, I want to be rich enough to have French fries for every meal. My mom's like, Ronnie, you're literally rich enough for that right now, you fucking complainer. I'm like...
Want more.
I like that potatoes are her priority. Like, she's like, the night before, she's like, oh, Lindy's coming. Gotta ask her about the potatoes. Gotta ask her about the potatoes, because if we don't get those potatoes, it's gonna be a problem.
Yeah. And Deshaun's like, we don't like to deal with the employees. Usually the house manager does that.
No, she said it right.
Manager.
She said Menage. It right. Yeah,
manager. So then the house manager is like testing her now. Yeah. So she goes, your father's coming in town tonight. And Deshaun's like,
she's like,
and she goes, two very important things. Your father has requested Bailey's and cream and vodka, which
sounds like the sort
of
like
I had Deshaun and forgot.
Yeah,
you know. So she goes, may I store that in the guest room? And Deshaun's like, do you mind? Like, Deshaun's like, her mind is blown that someone's going to bring her dad Bailey's, you know?
Does he want potatoes? Because that's an important thing.
She goes, yeah, well, I request things, you know, when you have guests. It's my responsibility to request what they would like in their room. Like us, we have, like, a PBR back there. You know, we get it. We totally get it. So she's like, may I store that for you? And then she goes, also, they wanted salmon.
May they have food choices? May they have food choices, Mrs. Snow? And so Deshaun's like,
and
Eric comes in. He's like, what the hell's going on in here? And she's like, well, Deshaun's like, well, Mr. Snow, Lindy wants to know if, you know, the guests can have food, whatever. He's like, absolutely not.
Yeah, he goes, we're not going to ask my father,
yeah.
Okay? If you ask my father, he will ask you to do everything. You know, which is like being like, Rhonda, my mom, like, Rhonda, would you like us to get anything for your stay at Ronnie's house? She'd be like, how about a decent personality, some respect for his mother, a college education, a relationship worth a shit, a child possibly, safer driving, not gaining and losing 100 pounds a year just to piss me off. It's like some parents, you just don't ask what they want.
You don't ask.
You know?
You're opening up a can of worms. So then,
bless her heart.
I love Lindy. I wish we got to see more of her. And she wore these giant buttons, like novelty buttons. I was expecting her to come in with like one of those like 9 foot tall pencils, be like, I'm the estate manager. So anyway, we then go over. Finally, we see Lawrence at his salon, and Sheree's getting her hair done for the big party, and she's like, I'm getting ready for a major event tonight. My birthday. There's gonna be pigs in a blanket there. Major event. It's like, okay, settle down. Now, we all love Lawrence, and we know it was 10 years ago, so styles have changed, but her hair looked crazy when she came out of it. It was like Medusa. I was like,
because she doesn't stop bossing people around while she's getting her hair done. You know what I mean? Like, if you can't stay still, your hair's going to look stupid. And Sheree is like she's like, like, she'd like start bossing someone around. It's like he's trying to like straighten, you know? And by the end, it's just like all over because she keeps moving.
She looked like Kathleen Quinlan when it was done. You know, remember Kathleen Quinlan?
Yes. Also, I have to give Kathleen credit Quinlan. To Lawrence for being one of the only ever gays on Bravo who has not turned out to be a shady, backstabbing little bitch.
Yes.
God bless him. And you know that man is a success because he can keep his mouth. He lines his lips and then he closes them. Okay?
Yeah. So everyone wants to bring friends to this party.
I'm all mad I didn't have a drink. I've got like 20 bottles of Tito's up here.
So, remember when Kim had a friend named Corey? Remember Corey was like Kim's bestie for a while? That was fun. So anyway.
Oh my God, this stoner. This guy was great. He's like, I really like Dazana. He's like Kim. Like, he's just like dead-eyed.
Corey was a woman, by the way.
Oh, who is the gay guy? Are we not at that part?
We're not quite there. Well, okay. So now it's like 25 minutes of everyone talking about their fashion, you know? So everyone's talking about what they're going to bring and everything. And Sheree's like, I would not put Nini and fashions in the same sentence. This is Sheree. This is She by Sheree, okay? Like, come on, Sheree.
So then we go to Nini. Now, we've just watched everybody with personal stylists and dressers and stuff like that. Nini's sitting on a bar stool at her house with, like, doing her makeup, which I thought was really cute. I kind of miss poor Nini. Like, is that weird?
No, season one Nini was the best Nini there ever was.
It was. And we talk about it on the show all the time, that Nini has become so unbearable. But she was so fucking great at first, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, you really did root for that friendship with her and Kim.
Yeah, you did.
You know?
She's still funny in her interviews, but, like, yeah.
She is a testimonial queen, yes. But she still, is. She still reigns with that. But, God, yeah,
but
she's become cow of a human person.
Yeah, she was great.
Okay,
so, but now, Kim's designer. So, Kim's designer arrives.
Thank you.
His name is Dean Pardue. He is Kim's personal. He shows up wearing a train conductor hat. So, that's already... that's already a problem.
So he's like, I'm Kim's personal stylist and I shop for her and sometimes I make custom things for her. I'm like, oh my God, you really do find your soul partner and you're gay sometimes, you know, because he's just like her. So he goes, you want a drink? It's 5 o'clock somewhere. And I was like, oh, I love a dead meme queen.
So Kim,
it,
they all have this like elevated sense of their importance in like Atlanta and the world of fashion. Because Kim's like, well, people will definitely dissect what I'm wearing. They do it in the grocery store. They do it in the back alleys.
Bowling alleys. Clinics.
The grill and chill.
Ow!
That's what you get for labeling me.
People are really going to dissect it. Stop wearing frogs. Okay, so...
stop wearing crocs.
Stop wearing frogs.
Oh, frogs.
So I was like, who's going to dissect what you're wearing? It's like a BB Catholic schoolgirl skirt.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we know, Kim. We've seen it. Yeah. So that was for you, Annabelle.
Yes.
Annabelle told
Annabelle.
Me... Because Annabelle's like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed because you're always making fun of people wearing too much BB. And I love BB. I wear it all the time. And I was like, I don't know what anything is. I just think BB's like the cutest name in the store. I'm like, BB.
Or as Kim calls it, Bib.
Bib. Hey, Babe. Babe.
And you know what's funny? So she's trying. So Dean makes her this crazy dress, and she's trying it on, and it's like big and poofy right here. And she's like, oh, well, it's too big in the front. Fast forward to 10 years later, everything she wears is a big puff in the front.
No
she
kidding,
only knew.
You could have turned that dress upside down, and it would have still fit 10 years later. So Kim goes, I'm unsexy motherfucker, so this dress is real mean. It's real different, fucking sexy fuck. And Dean's like, yeah, you're fucking sexy, yeah. She's like, yeah, I'm fucking sexy.
And Dean's like, Kim picked one of the sexiest pieces in the collection. It's short, it's schoolgirl inspired, and it speaks to Kim's personality. I'm like, is it like a flounder? I don't know. Like,
it's got a little pocket in the back to put tips in.
Yeah. It's just an ashtray. He actually designed it out of ashtrays.
You pop the head, and like a little capri comes out the butt. Now this is why I love when poor people get money, because they say things like this. I love this purse, but fuck, it was $5,000. Why won't it close right?
It's a hat. That's why. It's a hat. Wow.
That is a fireplace screen, Kim.
Okay. You're holding a plate.
So over it. Deshaun is so thrilled to have a barber chair in her house. It is the funniest fucking thing. She goes, look, I got a chair. You could get your hair done in it. And then she just stops. Yeah. Like,
the many facets of a chair. You can order your potatoes in it. So she gets dressed.
Another one. He was like, that dress isn't in the store, is it? Because I wouldn't want anybody seeing me wear the same dress that somebody else wore.
You know what?
No. Jinx. You say.
No, I was going to say, one of these days, we need to get another shady stylist, like the one on Game of Crowns. I don't know if anyone watched Game of Crowns, but on the very first episode of Game of Crowns, some shady stylist gave these two women the exact same tacky jumpsuit, and they only discovered it when they arrived at baggage claim at the Tucson International Airport, and they pulled at each other's hair. Like, I can't believe you're wearing my jumpsuit!
It was
a great show, and you guys really should all watch it. It's not even a joke. Like, it's a hilarious show.
Thank you. Is over there like, well, I'm wearing a party dress because it is a big event. You know?
Yeah.
And so she puts on like some cotton, like cute, tight thing.
I was like, okay. And then she's doing herself, which I really liked. You know, she's like designing herself or whatever.
Yeah.
And then she goes, you got to love Nene for being the only one to wear a cotton pillowcase like that's too small and to be like, I could definitely upstage the birthday girl. Like her confidence.
Yeah. So we see Lisa going through her closet. And she was like, I've got a dress, I got a shirt, I got a bleed. You know, it's like whatever. And then we're over at Chateau Charest, and Charest's getting all. Did I go over anything too? But did I?
No. Okay. At this point, make sure. I'm just like, go ahead. I'll just comment on what you say.
No, I'm sorry. I don't wanna over.
No, I didn't mean it bitchy. I meant it like
said,
in a fun way.
You know, it's been 10 years. You know. So anyway, so Charest's party's coming together. She's getting stressed. The cake is arriving. Everything. We meet her creative director. I love the fact that Charest has a creative director. She does. So then we go.
He's like, I want a party with 50 people. She's like, create it. Create it.
So now we're at Kim's townhouse, and Nene shows up to pick up Kim because they're going to ride over together. And what I loved about this, that when Kim came down the stairs, like, and she's all that, you know, she comes down the stairs, and that was back in the day when she didn't have hideous self-portraits all along the wall. It was just like abstract TJ Maxx art. I was like, that was the time. Those were the days.
I know, but I wish she did have them, because I wish she had like a self-portrait from every year, because it would have been like the Haunted Mansion at Disneyland. Or you just pass and the pictures change faces and start morphing into different faces.
That's what you call brutalist art.
I feel like if you took Kim's face and you slammed it down into a newspaper and held it there for a while, you could read the headlines off it after. You love a silly putty joke. That's why I love this guy.
I'm like, please, Ronnie, do silly putty tonight.
God, I hope he does a silly putty joke tonight.
Silly putty always kills. Always. Everyone loves us. I mean, give it up for silly putty, everyone. Silly putty. I have to say, like, this act, I was sad. You know, some of it is, it's sort of sad to see how some of these relationships have deteriorated, or how some of these people have just, like, gone off the deep end. And, like, watching Nene hugging Brielle and Ariana, I actually got genuinely sad, because it was so sweet. They did have such a sweet relationship.
I know, he was like, are you going to say something? I was like, no, I'm listening. I know, I thought it was so weird, right?
I was like, what's happening? I just wanted to feel the feels for a second. So,
okay, so Nene and Kim are going to go to the party together, and Kim's dress doesn't fit right. So she's like, I had to alter it, so we got to go to the Shell gas station to pick it up.
Yeah, Shell station.
Which, who knew? You know, that's another thing where, knowing now what we know, it's like, that is the future home of Cynthia Bailey eyewear.
And also,
I love when a location becomes famous.
And also Bar One.
And Bar One.
Wait, question. Who here has actually been to Bar One?
Bar One.
Bar One.
Two.
Bar Two.
Bar Three.
Bar Four. Brew. Has any... I have a question. Is Cynthia Bailey agency, is that near here?
Is it real? It's not real, right?
Is it real?
It's closed. Oh, bless her heart. You know what Cynthia Bailey needs to start selling? Leaf blowers.
Yes.
She's really given a good reputation to leaf blowers. I'd buy one from her.
Well, what was funny about this Shell station scene... Okay. What's funny about the Shell station scene... Yeah. The Shell station scene was that, like, at the time it felt so, like, oh my God, this is so funny. She's, like, keeping it real or whatever. But really it was just, you know, like, it's like, no, Kim Zolciak is basically our gas station. Like, she's just like a gas station on Bravo. You know, this was
basically
what
she was. Yeah, like, we enjoy her. She's dependable. No one wants to go inside of her, you know?
So we get to the party. The party's happening. The party's very excited. A guy named Antoine comes out. He starts singing a song, and he's like, Charest, I'm glad I could be here for you to celebrate my birthday, your birthday, and my birthday. Here's my gift to you, Charest.
Charest, I love cake. Charest, here's your cake and your birthday.
I love this room. It has four walls and a ceiling. And Charest's like, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever heard.
He knows me. He knows me. So then Kim and Nene arrive. But Kim's
nine
like,
minutes late.
Kim goes, we decided we were going to arrive fashionably late.
an hour and a half. I'm like, that is not fashionable. There's nothing about you fashionable right now.
Yes.
That's also called rude, bitch. An hour and a half later. Yeah. Remember, oh, and remember later, when remember a later season when everyone came late to Nene's party in the Hollywood Hills and she wouldn't let them in? You hypocrite! I just remembered it right now. I'm freshly angry.
Yes. So this was the moment that Real Housewives of Atlanta started to become legendary. Because up until then, it was, like, fun and cool. And then, like, Nene and Kim walk in, and it's like, Kim Zolciak for two, whatever. And then, but then Nene goes in, and her name's not on the list. Yeah. And from there, the legend begins.
Oh, and then we get to see Nene just lose it and refuse to, like, let it go. And we also get the very beginning of the Nene sound effect train. Okay? Because when she comes up, of course she walks, because she's dedicated to her things, right? So she comes up and she's like, doing the circle snaps, and she's like, you got to make a statement. Because people say, where's Nene? Bam, bam, bloom, bloom, bloom. I was like, damn, she was doing this even back then.
And this was also when, you know, season one, Trey was a monster. And this was like when we started to see it, because Tiffany's like, Nene's causing a scene, and Tiffany goes up to Sheree and it's like, oh my God, I had a total oversight. Like, Nene was on the list, whatever. And Sheree's like, Oh, hey, your eyelashes look good. Your lashes look good.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever. And you're like, oh, Sheree.
Yeah.
She became the villain of season one right at that moment.
Yeah, and Sheree says, now, I know she thinks it was done on my part, but it was Tiffany, you know. But you know it was Sheree. You know it was Sheree, and that's what makes it so delicious. And Nene knows it was Sheree, and she is not going to believe for 1 second that Sheree did that on accident, which she's right. You know, you got to call it. She's right.
And Nene's like, she's like, I've been to Sheree's house 1,000 times. There's no security. Her gates don't even work. And, of course, Deshaun has to weigh in.
Oh, yeah.
Deshaun's like, the whole point of having a staff and a team is so this won't happen. Oh, shut up with your potatoes.
I've got trinkets and watches galore.
So Nene, this is also Nene's first furious rant about security, and I'm saying her first
security.
Because we didn't have the whole Walmart debacle on camera, but you know, this is like what scarred her originally. And she's like, security pulls me to the motherfucking side? Oh, hell no! Like, that's when Nene was done. She's
because
like,
they even invite her back in.
Oh, yeah. So good.
I know.
So then Tiffany's like, sorry, sorry, I'm so sorry. And Nene's like, bang, 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 bitch. Bang, bitch. Sideways bang, bitch. And Sheree goes, I hear they're outside yelling, screaming. I didn't want that on this party, on my day. This ain't that kind of party.
Well, my favorite thing is, do you know how it ended? It ended with Kim going, I always have Nene's back. She's been a great friend to me, so I'll be a good friend to her. Always.
No matter what. No matter what.
Isn't life great? Isn't life great? Don't we just love Bravo?
Yes.
I mean, look at this. Look how far we've come.
And Nene also set up her constant storyline forever. She goes, there is no forgiveness. And I was like, yes, bitch. It's like, you guys really set this up well. So coming up, oh my God, so then we see such great scenes for the coming season. My favorite of which is when Kim goes to the singing teacher because she wants to release a song.
Oh, we should have invited her.
And the singing teacher goes, you know, the problem with you, Kim, is you don't really know what you're doing. And then it just cuts to Kim and she's like,
huh?
And that brings us to the end of the Real Housewives of Atlanta.
It was such an honor to recap Atlanta in Atlanta.
Yes.
You guys were awesome. The whole night was awesome. Happy birthday to Ronnie.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for my
cake. Thank you for the cake.
Thank you everything that you guys have done for us. You know,
to you.
Damn you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Ronnie. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you,
suckers.
Thank you. We love you guys. Thank you so much.
Who said that? Who said that?
We will see you next time.
Good night, everyone. Thank you so much.
Thank you, City Winery. Thank you, Cortez.
Thank you all.
Good night.
Smart technologies are transforming our cities, reinventing our energy supply infrastructure, and even helping tackle crime. But what does this really mean? Join Alexander Armstrong as he chairs a debate about smart cities and the technology that's beginning to control our urban world. Panelists include Finlay Clark from Waze and Anjana Ahuja from the Financial Times.
What is the purpose of a smart city? As I said, that I find it really hard to find a really good definition of a smart city. We kind of know it's about real-time change. It's about being more energy efficient. It's about things running more smoothly. But it's more smoothly for whom? Who is going to benefit?
We are also in danger of building an incredibly powerful surveillance system. And it will start off, of course, with we're just monitoring your bins to make sure that we're going to maximise the way in which bins are being used. And then 5 years later, the local authority will be arresting people because they haven't put the right bottles in the right recycling bins.
My frustration with this is always that it's never something we decide together as a national debate. What should our cities look like? How should our towns look like in respect to our cities? What should the villages look like? What can we learn or what kind of positives should we be taking into towns in terms of kind of smart towns?
But I worry sometimes that we want to turn all of our towns into smart cities and we want to turn them all into tech hubs. Like, the danger then is that we're just creating this two-tiered society of cool techies with cool jobs and everybody else. While it is obviously good to have this new tech introduced to smaller towns, I don't think it's going to be wise if everywhere tries to become a tech hub.
Our mission is to end traffic or play a role in alleviating traffic. And we're quite optimistic about where traffic and transport's going. People who live in urban areas are going to have many, many more options to get people and things around urban areas. It'll be a lot cheaper than it is today.
Produced by Intelligence Squared in partnership with Shell, the Smart Cities podcast is available now on iTunes, Acast, Spotify and all other major platforms.
You will need 5,000 eggs, 450 bags of flour, and one big tent. Add 12 slightly nervous bakers, mix it with 30 new challenges.
On your marks, get set, bake!
Then add a dash of Hollywood's handshakes to taste.
Wow, I think you've done an amazing job.
The Great British Bake Off starts tomorrow at 8 on Channel 4.